Lord. So God gave me a word, I believe, last night in the church while I was praying. And this is what God said. And this is not just for Wessel Du Brain. It's not just for my family. It's for you. Okay, it's for you. Haggai says, is the seed still in the barn? As yet the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, the olive tree have not yet yielded its fruit. But from this day, I will bless you. So God was saying, the seed has not yet even come up. The trees has not yet even bear fruit. But I'm going to do something in the supernatural that will break the law of the natural. I will bless you. I will bless you, not tomorrow, not next week. I will bless you now. I will bless you now. And I believe that God's going to bless faithfulness in this hour. I've said it this morning quickly. I want to say this again. And I want you to take notes. I want you to take notes. Please hear me. Anything that you struggle with in your life, whether it is sin, whether it is a low self-image, whether whatever scenario in your life that you face that you feel like I can't overcome it. Let me quickly tell you why. The reason is that people don't overcome certain things. It's because of repentance. I want to help you understand grace. When you repent of something, now we understand what true repentance means. True repentance means I turn away from the sin. I do it no more. When I truly repent, do you know what grace does? Grace steps in. All right? This is why the Bible says sin has no more dominion over you. So when I repent out of my heart over a situation, maybe it's not sin. Maybe it's something that you can't overcome, which is not sin, but it leads to sin. All right? You get angry. All right? You get envious and jealous and whatever it is. Like Jesus says in the last days, people will have outbursts of wrath, outbursts of jealousy, and it goes on. How do I overcome that thing and knowing that this thing will not ever take me again? Come on, I'm teaching you on the character of the fourth man. It's very important to understand. The only way that I can overcome that is through true repentance. So when I truly repent, grace steps in and grace helped me to overcome. In other words, now, when I truly repented, the thing that I struggled with has no more power over me. Who understands this? This is why grace doesn't give me the power to sin, but grace helps me to overcome the biggest obstacles in my life. Now we're living in the hour that Jesus said in the last days, people will hate God. The scripture says they will be lovers of pleasures. Please look around you. And okay, sit in here kijkend of near hand op enig iemand. Look around you. People will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. The scripture says that people, the unrighteousness will increase every single day. The one translation says sin will increase every single day. And because of the love of sin and unrighteousness, the love for God will grow cold. So people no longer have a love for God. People get offended. We are living in the last days. If I tell you that we are living in the last days, don't just take my word for it. Read the Bible. Jesus says in the last days they will be offended. They will hate one another. Come on. There will be quarrels. And the scripture says those who quarrel will not inherit the kingdom of God. Please hear me right now. You can sing, holy are you Lord, until you're blue in the face and pink under your toes. If you don't live according to his standards and righteousness, and if your righteousness doesn't surpass the righteousness of the scribes, you won't by no means enter the kingdom of God. If you believe this right now, I want you to say, Lord Jesus, start with me this morning. It's very quiet this day, but I believe that God's going to take you there. You're going to get there now. Amen. Amen. I said amen. So I want to go into a little bit deep about the character of the fourth man, because the character that we should obviously display is the character of God. And the problem is we are facing today, and I promise you again, and I again with love and respect towards anybody, any form of fear, any form of insecurity is lack of relationship. If you have a relationship with the King of Heaven. Now, I'm not just speaking to you about any man. I'm speaking to you about the one who measures the universe by the span of his hand. I'm speaking to you about the one who has said, let there be light, and light came into existence. If you have a relationship with him, an intimate, close relationship, you are not intimidated by man. I need you to get this across. The reason why Jesus said to Peter, who does man say that I am? It's because Jesus had a plan. If Peter understood the revelation and he understood who Christ is, Jesus would open up his eyes and he will understand who he is in Christ. Satan will continue to attack your character until you get to that place where you know who you are in Christ Jesus, and it comes by one thing, by repentance of the old nature, stepping into a place where you say, Lord, I need your grace. Please get me to that place, Lord, where it's just me and you. Now I want you to get Matthew. Let's get the book of Matthew on the screen. Now the whole month of June I'm going to teach on this matter, character. And I want people to help me preach this morning. Don't be quiet on me. This is Matthew chapter 7. The scripture says, judge not that you be not judged. Now there's a big difference between coming to somebody and warn them and being a judge of them. Big difference. Come on, big difference. Warning them, it means you have compassion. You can't warn people without compassion. So there's a compassion for their soul. All right? Judging them is looking down on them and playing a bit holier than thou. That's what judging is. All right? So the scripture says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So by the way, simple as this. The scripture says if you judge somebody being a thief, one day when you stand before God, you'll be judged as a thief. This is deep. The Bible says the measure that you use will be measured for you again. All right? And so if you judge any person out of any, from your life, any person that judge another person, and I'm not talking to you about warn and loving them, I'm talking to you about judging them. It's just a sign of your character, of who you are, and the lack of character. Come on, why is it so quiet? I want you to say hallelujah if you're with me. So Jesus says, don't, if you don't want to be judged, don't judge. Okay, maybe you in the middle here. If you don't want to be judged, don't judge. As simple as that. Because the day is coming where you will stand before the great judge. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eyes, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite! I see people getting offended. How can this man say I'm a hypocrite? This is the man Jesus that said that. Jesus said, you hypocrite! First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Oh, come on. So do you know what our biggest concern is in today? And this is a sign of bad character. Today, nobody can take responsibility for anything. If I look at the fathers of the world, most ladies go to church because the father's in the next level. Either they're drunk at home and then they think their children must be something better. Come on, your children will produce what you are. But it's time to stop putting a name or a blame game and say, listen, there's something wrong in me and I need to take responsibility. Because if I don't take responsibility now, I'm going to stand before a judge one day that's going to judge me severely. So I either get with it. This is why Jesus says you're a hypocrite. Get whatever's in your eye, take it out first, and then you will be able to rightly divide. Listen, the only reason why people judge is because, or let me rephrase this. You judge somebody else, but you just sin differently. So just because your sin is not the same way they sin, and you judge, who made you judge? Who died and made you God? Come on, am I speaking to the right crowd this morning? And I understand, and listen, can I be honest with you? There's sometimes in my flesh that I feel like I'll strangle them. Amen. Transparency in this church. Or when I baptize them. You know? I said, man. Okay, stop. Oh, it's too long. Sorry, man. You know? You feel that way. You feel like, but the Bible says what reward is there in that? And the hardest thing is that the scripture says bless those. My God, I can tell you about persecution. The closer you get to Jesus, I promise you, the harder it will get. My God, I feel the Lord. By the way, if I'm beside myself this morning, forget about me. It's just me and the Lord. We've got our own thing going. But my God, the closer you get to Jesus, when I promise you before God, if I go to the Lord and I say, Lord, I make a commitment from this day, I'll walk closer than ever before. Do you know what I do? I actually sign up for the worst attacks of my life. Of my life. My God. I feel the Lord here so strong. I believe in the next few seconds, everything's going to shift in this place. So Jesus says, do not judge. Stop judging. Stop judging. In actual fact, yes, Holy Spirit, I want to read you another one. Let's go to the book of James quickly. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Amen. Now, quickly, I want to preach it. The scripture says that the Ark of Covenant, they were walking with the Ark of Covenant. And the Bible says that God wasn't happy with how they operated. You see, the presence of God was never to be carried, but to be resting upon men's shoulders. So the scripture says, the Ark of Covenant, they were walking with the Ark of Covenant, and one of them, Uzzah, he slipped, and he touched the Ark of Covenant, and he died. And here David says, now hang on, how can we take the Ark of Covenant? If God is killing people, I don't want the presence of God. Please take it elsewhere. And the scripture says one guy, Obed-Edom, he said, bring it to my house. And he made room for the presence of God. Come on, don't lose focus now. Please don't lose focus. Obed-Edom made room for the presence of God in his house. And the scripture says when the presence of God came into his house, God blessed his house for 3 months long. Everything prospered. Everything turned around. Come on, I'm here to declare to you right now in Jesus' name, when you make room for the presence of God, whether people hate, whether people judge, whatever, if you make room for the presence of God, I declare to you, I hear a shaking and I hear a rattling. I hear a shaking and I hear a rattling. This is the season where those doors will open up supernaturally. Why? For the presence of God. The Bible says for 3 months, there was such an outpouring in this man's house. Come on, I'm speaking to an Obed-Edom in this place right now. I declare this, there was an outpouring of God's Spirit in his house. And wherever God's Spirit is, there's more than enough. So the scripture says he prospered. And you know what happened? When somebody prospers, news starts to spread because favor ain't fair. People start to see the favor of God upon your life. Listen, even though Satan tried to assassinate you and attempted to kill you, he will not prosper because there's a spirit on the inside working right now in the name of Jesus. There's an anointing in your house right now at this moment. You better do what you've been doing and stop worrying who's trying to harass you. No devil in hell that's on assignment to harass you will prevail from this day. For God says, don't even look at the fruit. On this day, I'll bless you. I'll bless you. Come on, I'll bless you. I'll bless you. So the scripture says, his house was blessed. And when God starts to bless you, you better hear me. You better make room for the blessing of God. God doesn't just bless you in glimpses. And I know these people sitting here and you're wondering, when is my time coming? Well, my God, I declare this in Jesus' mighty name. You know, last night I said to the Lord, Lord, when is my time coming? When is my time coming? I didn't even feel like getting here to preach. I promise you, I was just down and out, but something came in me. And let me quickly explain to you what I do. When I go through a hard time, do you know how I get myself out of a hard time? I preach through a hard time. Do you know how I get myself out of a hard time? I praise my way out. Everything around me seems like I'm supposed to die. But there's something in me that was created to praise God in the midst of a storm. Oh, come on, I'm speaking to the right crowd. I know that the Lord is speaking to somebody in this place. Obed-Edom was signed up to be a blessing. Everything prospered in his house. And David heard there's a blessing in that man's house. And do you know what the scripture says? David said, now hang on. If God blesses him, God can bless me. God's not a God of partiality. If God blesses him, God can bless me. So David said, all right, so I'm going to have to do the same thing. This guy's doing something right. So if he's doing something and God blesses him, I'm going to do the same thing. Now people can call you nuts and say, oh, do you have a place for God in your house? Absolutely. My whole house belongs to him. Everything belongs to him. Come on, everything that you touch belongs to him. And before I'm going to continue, I just want to lead by the Holy Spirit. There's people here in this place that cannot overcome certain things. For you have not yet yielded and surrendered it to God. It's time to yield. It's time to surrender and you will be happy. The reason why you're not happy is because it's not yielded to God. You live a life, a selfish life. You live for yourself instead of saying, Lord, this character of mine has brought me nowhere. I am surrendering to you, Lord. Come on, if you believe it, say hallelujah. David says, no, it's not right. Bring back the Ark of Covenant. This is 2 Samuel. So the scripture says they went to Obed-Edom's house. And just by the way, after that, there came a promotion. Obed-Edom was promoted to the gatekeeper. He was the one opening up the gates to the presence of the Lord. Every single time you cater for the presence of God in your life, whether people like your face or not, God will promote you. I look at some people and I want to declare this to you, this promotion coming to your house just because you love the presence of God. And by the way, when you love the presence of God, don't think everything is going to be easy. No ways. You are signing up for some of the worst attacks of your life. I'm standing here in front of you. I shouldn't be here. But thank God, there's a spirit of an overcome on the inside of me. Oh, hallelujah. Guys, can I ask you just to help me switch off these things that's so hot? Whew. The people won't be able to jabula this morning if it goes like this. Come on, what do you say? I hear a rattling and a shaking right now. Come on, I hear a rattling and a shaking right now. So the scripture says, here they went and they took back the Ark of Covenant and they're on their way to David's house. And the Bible says the following happened. David, first of all, got out of his kingly garment. Now, you better hear me now. Somebody just died 3 months back when they touched the Ark of Covenant. David is afraid. All right? If you look at David's whole life, the persecution he's been through, his own sons plotted to kill him. Saul wanted to kill him. David even said, he said, you know what? This man is unrighteous. I have all the power to kill him. I won't touch him. I won't touch him. You know, because he's the anointed of God. And yet Saul was a sinner. Saul was far from the Lord that day or in that season. Saul died without God. Saul didn't die righteous. But David said, even though I can slay him, I won't even touch him. So David's character was, and you know, and this is something that I believe with all of my heart. David was called the man after God's own heart. But something that David did wrong. The scripture says that he was a murderer. He planned a lot of things to murder. And then obviously adultery. But there's things that he did not surrender to God. In his own character, in his own nature, it was something that he struggled with. God blessed him, helped him, used him, multiplied. But it's one aspect in his life that he didn't want to surrender to the Lord. And this is when it becomes true character. It's no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. So, let's continue. The scripture says, so David got out his kingly robe. He didn't walk in his kingly robe that day. So he was in a robe that one of his normal servants would have been in. Now the scripture says, close to his house, his wife Michelle looked through the window and she criticized him. She criticized, you can try to get into the Hebrew roots and what. Plain fact, she criticized him. She criticized, first of all, because he's a king, and it was not a normal occurrence for men to dance. Normally, ladies danced. But secondly, now he's out of his kingly garment, and the scripture says that the Holy Spirit took over his whole body. His whole body was yielded. In a minute of seconds, his whole body was yielded to the Spirit of God. And the Bible says he made funny feet movements. So the scripture says his own wife looked outside of the window and she criticized him. Now you better hear me. It was his own wife that criticized him. When she touched the man of God, she was barren. The scripture says barren. God judged her severely for that. And it went on. Now, please hear me. The scripture says when she criticized him, and this is fact, the scripture refers to as Michelle, Saul's daughter, and no longer Michelle, David's wife. Because what she did was actually revealing the selfish, prideful character of her father and not the joyful, humility character of her husband. Who's listening to me? This is why the Bible says Michelle, Saul's daughter. It doesn't refer to Michelle as David's wife no more. Because now the character of her father was being revealed. And he was prideful, he was arrogant. Amen? But her husband was joyful and he was humble. And she looked afar and said, look at this crazy thing. Now, I'm speaking to people right now that you've got no reason in your life to dance at the very moment. You've got no reason. There's nothing in your life that you look at that seems like, yes, it makes me to dance. But you know what the Bible says? David said it. He says that I encourage myself in the Lord. Sometimes you have to encourage yourself in the Lord. If you wait for people to encourage you, you're going to wait until Jesus returns. If you look at people, people will badmouth you. I want to get deep now. If you look at people's faces, you want to die. This is why people are on antidepressants and on stress pills and a pill for every single thing, because what they are exposed to during the day. I cannot look at people to encourage myself. When it's bad, I need to encourage myself in the Lord. Come on. When the storm is against me, I need to do something. I need to encourage myself in the Lord. I need people that will be encouraged right now. It's quiet. I don't see dancers right now, okay? I'm going to need to encourage you. This is why the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more I speak the word over my own life, I don't even have to speak the word over your life. I speak the word to myself. Amen. The more I do that, the more I encourage myself. This is how I encourage myself in the Lord. It's bad. I'm supposed to be an alcoholic by now. All right? But I'm not doing that because I'm encouraging myself not in the bottle, but in the word of God. Amen. So I declare the word and declare the word. And I promise you, if you look at your situation, you will not dance. But David couldn't listen to his wife. He couldn't look at the people around him. Imagine carrying the presence of God and nobody says a word. His presence is coming to my house. I'm going to dance. I understand why he pulled out his jacket. It was getting hot there. God, I want you to say, I'll encourage myself in the Lord. One more time. You might feel outnumbered. You might feel deserted. You might even say to the Lord, Lord, what I'm facing is not fair. It's not fair, Lord. I don't understand why I have to go through this. You know, I've said it to Dennis last night. I said, the day that you meet some of the great generals of the faith is the day of your greatest disappointment. All right, you see no integrity. And the list goes on. And then you think to yourself, Lord, am I doing what they're doing? Absolutely not, Lord. I try to live as pure as I can. And the more you try to live that life, the more the attacks come on you. Listen, I'm speaking to people right now that are going to have to make a separation and is distinguished this day, right now. If you want to serve God, you better get ready for a raging storm that will come. Period. Period. It's not going to be easy because you serve the Lord. It's going to be harder. And I know there's a lot of public speakers and feel-good messages out there, but it's all a lie. We don't live in a fairy tale world. We fight and wrestle, not against flesh and blood, not against each other. We wrestle against principalities and powers. And you know, the devil hates us. But I don't like him neither. And my hope doesn't come from him. I find my pure in the word of God. Come on, if I can just get myself to be encouraged in God, then suddenly your feet will start to dance. Today I declare this to you, whether there's pain, you dance your way out of it. Whether there's storms, you dance your way out of it. You don't care about who's speaking bad about you. You will find it. I promise you, you will find it. It's the very people. Last night, a pastor called me. I don't want to go into too much of the private details. But he's going through a thing. My heart broke for him when he spoke over the phone. My heart broke for him. I said, God, preachers shouldn't go through this stuff. And you know what? He felt like, when I heard him, he wants to give up. I said to him, you don't give up. I said, you dance in the midst of the storm. I said, you encourage yourself in the word of God. I said to him, you have to understand the reason why you're being attacked is because there's a treasure on the inside of you. You're not just being, Satan doesn't just fight. Listen, if you don't want to get in a fight, do nothing. Say nothing. Do nothing. But the minute you do something for the kingdom of God, all hell will break out against you. But I thank God that his word says, nothing that comes against you will prevail against you. He says, anything that comes, he'll give you the power to overcome it. Come on, I'm looking at overcomers this morning. Where's the people that will jump to their feet and say, I'm praising myself out of my storm? Come on, I hear a rattling and I hear a shaking. Come on, I said I hear a rattling and I hear a shaking. Things are coming together for my good. In Jesus' name. Now, by the way, you can take your seat. But just by the way, you know, Jesus promised one thing. He says that when the blessing comes, it comes with 100-fold persecution. Now, I want to speak to at least two people that knows exactly what I'm saying. If you've been persecuted without seeing the blessing, you're next in line. No, yeah, okay, I'm going to try this side. If you've been persecuted and you've not seen the blessing, you're next in line. Jesus promised, he says, when the persecution comes, there's a blessing. And he says, not any blessing, he says a hundredfold blessing. Who has not received a hundredfold? Lift your hands. How do you get it? You're going to praise your way there. You're going to praise your way out. And I'm encouraging myself in the Lord. Hold on, my child. Joy comes in the morning. Weeping may last for a night. His mercies are new for me every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You encourage yourself in the Lord continuously. Now, David's character was revealed and his wife's character was revealed. His wife's character came back from her father. That's what she revealed. She came to a place, and this is what most people forget. People forget where they come from. She forgot before she was a king's wife who she were. Now she's judging him for the love that he displayed towards God. She's judging him. His character came out also. He Jabulat. He didn't care. He said, I'm going to humble myself because this is the key. You know, the scripture says if you want to overcome Satan, there's just one way to overcome Satan. He says that you have to surrender to God. All right? When you submit to God, say with me, submit. The Bible says submit to God and Satan will flee from you. The reason why most people can't even cast out demons is because of the lack of submission unto God. When you submit unto God, you'll be able to withstand Satan. This is why Jesus could have retaliated and say, it is written. It is written. Who remembered when Satan attacked Jesus in the desert, he attacked his character? If you are the Son of God. He knew exactly that Jesus was the Son of God, but he wanted to attack the character. Because I think that he thought to himself, well, if I tell him, Eve, thou be the Son of God, Jesus is going to say, let me show you that I'm the Son of God. This is why with true character, you never have to protect true character. Never. Listen, when you are under such severe attack, it's just because of character. Who remember with Job that the devil said to the Lord, he said, the only reason why he's serving you is because you protect him. And the Lord said, all right, so touch his character, let's see. You can't kill him, but that's his character. The first thing that Satan did was he was attacking the character. Come on. You know when you want to see, if you want to see somebody's true character, give him power. When you give a person true power, you'll see true character. Most people, this is why you'll see who you got in your camp when you give them power. Oh, it's so quiet right now. Character comes out when pressure is applied. Oh, hallelujah. Shake that tree a bit. You see no fruits. Character comes out. Who's in this place this morning? Who enjoys it, by the way, this morning? So this is why it's very important that when we look upon somebody, not to judge. Not to judge. Kijk hierdie koning. Kijk hoe dans hy. Is jy mal in jou kop? Jy gooi ons naam weg. I'll do anything for the presence of God. I'll do anything. When it comes to the presence of God, I don't care about my reputation. I don't care about my name. I give zilch. I've been everywhere. There's nothing like being at this presence. Can I continue quickly? I'm nearly done. I want you to take that mirror in your hand. Just keep it in your hand, all right? Just keep it in your hand. I really don't have to say, what do you see? Don't tell me what you see, all right? So, the scripture says she reveals a character, the character of a father. Please say with me, the character of a father. This is why many instances where the scripture is clear, when God speaks to somebody, he calls them on his first name. Like when Jesus said to Peter, he didn't say Peter, he said Simon. It's because he was referring back to his old nature, his own character. Now, the true character of the Lord, I promise you, the only way that you can be successful spiritually is when you have character. That's it. If there's no character, I had somebody that came to me the other day, and came to see me and said, I want to tell you about my pastor. I said, stop. You don't speak about your pastor. I want to hear nothing, not in this house. Amen? Normally, is it? Tell me. Let's get a story going. You know, let me quickly call a chommy. He tegenhoor. But true characters, hang on. Hang on. The person that you come against is fighting a battle. Maybe you don't like him, you don't agree with him, that's fine. I understand that and I can respect that. But they're fighting a battle. Rather pray for them. You know what I said to the Lord last night? I said, If I look at just the anointing on my life, the attacks because of the anointing, then you can't even understand why loved ones will fight with you. Why would friends fight against you? Why would church people fight against the vision? If the anointing attracts attack, just Satan by himself. Who hears me? Sometimes it doesn't seem fair. Come on, help me out. But what is my job? My job is to display the character of God. The character of the fourth man. Display him. Let the world, when the world sees me, they see God. They see God. You know why we have to go into character? Because this is what I believe. Jesus says the day is coming when people stand before him and say, Lord, I've cast out demons in your name. Go away, I never knew you. Lord, I prophesied in your name. Go away, I never knew you. You workers of iniquity. When you have character, it means that you've been with God. All right, I'm nearly done. I see people fall asleep on Father's Day. I'm almost there. 2 Samuel 12. Let's read it quickly. Verse 1. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him, and he said to him, there was two men in one city, one rich and the other one poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. Just pause there quickly. Now, in Israel, this really happened. They had sheep or lambs that was pets. They grew up in their homes, grew up in their beds. Imagine walking in my house and he took a lami keeper, man. Weird. Huh? And he's drinking, I'm drinking, and he's drinking some out of the same cup, eating of my food. Huh? And you treat her like a daughter. Phew. That's weird. Come on now. All right. I want you just to pause there for a second. Before this chapter, you'll see what David did. David did something terrible. Now, David was anointed. And the scripture says he was looking at a woman while she was bathing. And he made plans. I want to get this woman. Amen? This is what the scripture says. Then this woman was married. And the Bible says he even made plans to kill her husband. So she became pregnant. He slept with her. And you know what? Ladies back then was crazy. You married. Come on, I want to sleep with you. Okay. I've got a husband at home. But no, don't worry about that fool. Okay. My God, David's sons were a mess. They saw their sister. I like my sister. Do you know what? The one brother said, fake an injury. Fake an injury. Make if you sick. And they tell you, Dad, the sister must bring the cakes. And he's lying on his bed. Oh, I'm sick, priest said, my sister. Sick. It's all I geskaap op passerij. Ik zeg jullie nou. Something in the wool. So his sister came in. He said, come. Come, let's be intimate. She said, how can you do this? I'm your sister. And you have no choice. And he raped her. Read the Bible. He raped her. He raped his own sister. And the Bible says he loved her so much. After he raped her, he hated her. With a passion. Now, how can love turn into hate? Like this. Let me quickly tell you how. A demon. A demon. This is the only way that you can love somebody and hate him like this. Demon possession. Finish and klaar. All right? Just by the way, to feel any emotion to your sister. Nie is in 21ste century is dit reg nie. Sies. Imagine that. Oh my goodness. Ek sal nooit doen na my sister dieselfde ook en kyk. Hallo sister. Nou, so, his children were nuts. Children wanted to kill their own father. Now, we see the same thing with David. Here comes David, and he's married. He's a man of God. And the scripture says, he's checking out this woman. He saw her bathing, and he said to his servants, come. See that one? Bring her here. But she's married. Who cares? And he could be thrown. Okay. Okay. Imagine that. It was like woman, there was nothing back then. Come on, we're not still busy throwing, help me. There's a bias still. It's like you've got no say in this matter. Alright? You just come. So the scripture says, so they lay together, he impregnated her, And he said, all right, bring a husband, put him right in the front of the army, kill him. Take him out. I'm taking his wife. And you know what David did? David thought he was anointed. David won battles. But something God says, what you've done, I'm not pleased with. You're going to pay a hefty price. Now you can choose your sin, but you cannot choose the consequence. What I want people to understand, even in a repentant state, if you did so, this is where I want to go back to. When you repent of something, grace steps in. Grace gives you the power never to go back. Okay. It's not, oh, ek nou weer geval, hierdie vlees. No, you've never repented. True repentance takes you away from that because now grace steps in. Wie verstaan my? So grace gives you the power not to go back to what I've been. This is why Jesus said you had to be born again. Alright? Born again. So David, when David, I'll read it to you now, but eventually David said, I've sinned against the Lord. And you know what? The prophet said to him, hang on, there's a penalty. What you sow, you reap. You've done something wrong, God's going to judge you. That's what happened. Alright? So let's go on. After this funny section. So he had a lamb in his bed. Aren't you happy to be alive in the 21st century? If I could have chosen the 80s. All right, but in any case. Pink milkshakes, Cadillacs. Swart bikies, wit kouse. Amen. And then simply the best, going back wasted. Jou vlees, right, gaan ons. So, okay, let's do this. And a traveler came to the rich man, who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wavering man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and he prepared it for the man who had come to him. So David's anger was greatly aroused against this man. And he said to Nathan the prophet, as the Lord lives, this man who has done this shall surely die. And he shall restore fourfold for the lamb because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you are that man. Now I want you to quickly hear me. Take that mirror. Kijk en hy speelkie. Do not tilt the mirror. Straight. Kijk wat tien is. Kijkie. Kijk, dat is ons probleem. Nee. People sit like this. Hier is ons probleem. Look straight in that mirror. Because here's David. So check yourself in that mirror. And then I want you to look at me quickly. So here comes Nathan, the prophet of God. Nathan said to David, this is the scenario, this is the problem. And he tells him what the rich man did and how the rich man dealt with unrighteousness and how his character came out, and David was angry. David said, what? I'll kill that man. You know, I'm king, I'll kill that man. He's going to repay fourfold whatever he took, and he's angry. But David forgot the day that he killed a man because he had lust for his wife. David forgot the day that he was standing on the roof and checking a woman bathing. Come on, he forgot that he had a speck in his own eye. And this is what people do. It's easy to bring forth judgment when I'm standing from the outside. But when the table starts to turn. So David said, bring me that man, I'll kill that man, and he will have to repay fourfold. And Nathan said, hang on, you are that man. The man I'm speaking about, the problem that I'm speaking about, the thing that we are in is because of you. You are that man. You are that problem. Many times we ask the question, or we say, oh, my husband is the problem, or my wife is the problem. No, you're the problem. The problem is the one that you look into the mirror. It's the character issue. Look at that mirror again. It's that character issue of the one that you see. You know, true character. Do you know when true character is being displayed? When you look in the mirror and all you see is God. But the minute you still see disappointment, you still see hurt, it's because you're that man. You're the man that the prophet of God is speaking against. You're the man that, oh, come on, help me out, somebody. The problem is not your wife, it's not your husband, it's not your children. It's not what people do against you. Listen, I want to go deep. Can I go deep? If you think like what's going on in your life at this minute, ask yourself the question, did I sow this? People are reaping what they're sowing. You say, well, you know, I don't receive any love. Well, sow love. Give love. If you say, well, this is not the way I've been brought up, well, then you've not met with God. When God starts to touch your life, He gives you a new nature. He gives you a new character. The old things is done away with. You're not who you used to be. You're a new creation in God. And so the problem is not, it's not like what David said, it's easy to say, bring that man, I'll kill him. But when the prophet said, then you're going to have to kill yourself. It changes the whole scenario. Who's with me this morning? Come on, the person, I want to ask you, who do you see in that mirror? Is that the person that you want to be? And listen, you can sit here with pride and arrogance and say, oh, I'm happy with my life. And you know that you know that you know. You might be happy. God's not happy. God's not happy with how you've been dealing your life, how you've been handling people. And you know what Nathan said to him the following? He said, I want to quickly tell you, there's judgment coming to your house. It's impossible to evade it. God says you will live, but He's taking out everything around you. Your children will die because of the impurity of their father. You better hear me. If you want your children to live a life according to the word of God, get your own character right. You know, if you look at David's sons had the character of their father. Come on, I need people with faith this morning. I declare in the name of Jesus Christ right now, by the power of the Holy Ghost, that your children will have the character of God. They will not have to suffer the consequences of your lifestyle. Come on, if you believe it, say hallelujah. So it's easy to say, oh Lord, I'm going to kill that man, bring that man here. But what do you see in the mirror? The biggest problem is the one that you look at in the mirror. That one that's looking back at you. That's the issue. The issue is the issue of the heart. If people look at us, do they see the character of the fourth man? This is why I always say, and I can have to go back to observe the dove. If I speak, does it bring glory to God? If I judge, does it bring glory to God? If I touch the anointing, does it bring glory to God? What do I see? What reflects back to me in that mirror? Come on, again, look in that mirror. I want every single one. Check that mirror. If you don't have a mirror, I'll bring you one. Look in that mirror. We need to employ a talent, I believe. Don't feel terrible when you leave. Here, I get out. No, don't worry about that. That's the effect of sin, by the way. Just look in that mirror. So you might say, bring that man, bring that woman that has done this thing to you. Who do you see in that mirror? You're that person the Lord is speaking to this morning. It should be a character change. There's an urgency to the body of Christ to get to that place where we get rid of pride. Jesus says that the last day's pride will escalate. People, even though you're not wrong, say, I'm sorry. That's displaying the character of Jesus. Jesus had all the right to judge and condemn. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. That's the character that I want to display. You know, why do we do this character of the fourth man? Because the day is coming, it's here, that you're going to stand before God. And that day, you're not going to say, you know, here's my problem. You know, that one day I said to the church, Sunday, bring your problems to church. So one guy came with his wife. He brought it, say, it's my problem. It's not your problem. Amen. So if I say bring your problems to church, don't leave your, we leave your wife, okay? Say, come here. The problem is not, you're not fighting each other. Don't you know that you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers? That's who you fight against. The person that hurt you, it's not your partner, it's you. Look in the mirror. And I want you to do this again. Look in the mirror again. There's things that God sees that he hates. It's very quiet now. If you say it's not that case, then actually you say I'm a false prophet. God is saying to me, the thing that's staring back, there's things in your life that he hates. He doesn't approve of it. He doesn't hate you. He loves you. But there's things that you cater in your life that God hates. God hates. You know, I had a, can I be transparent again? I have an issue. All right? I struggled with a low self-esteem. Okay? I struggled with that. Something that I struggled with. Then it's height, then it's this, then it's that. And one day, not long ago, God spoke to me clear as day. And he said, for every single word you spoke against how I created you, I'll keep you accountable. I'll keep you accountable. That's what God said to me. I'll keep you accountable. And I thought, what? And it came into my spirit. I have made you in my image and in my likeness. When you speak bad against you speak bad against me. And you know, it's actually deeper than that. Can I go a little bit deeper than that? Weet, die woord van die Here sê, ons is besig om eintlik te laster teen God. Kom vir die Afrikaans, laster is hard. Ons laster teen God. When you look in a mirror and the only thing is you complain. Oh, look where I am looking. Oh, look at my height. So what you're actually saying is that the Creator made you wrong. This is why, crucify me. If you wake up one morning and say, let me decide whether I'm a guy or a woman. I don't know, I feel more like a woman. God will judge you. God doesn't make mistakes. I had to be short. Everybody can't be tall. And God makes everything grow until it's perfect. Then he stops. And on his blueprint, that's exactly what he wanted to make. Because when he looked at you, he said, it is well. It's like looking at himself. You're perfect in all of your ways. God created you. You're wonderfully and fearfully made. There's nobody on this planet that looks like you. Not even your twin looks like you. I've greeted Rushay's twin in PE. I said, is that a twin? Can't be a twin. They don't even look the same. That's how great God is. They're not even your twin. You're twin, you're twin. See, people are like... Your fingerprints displays the character of God. If I look at myself, I look at his character. I look at his personality. As ek na myself kyk en ek dink aan God se persoonlikheid. I'm going to have a ball in heaven. He laughs all the time. He loves to laugh. If I look at Tinus, I see part of God's character. If I look at this Tinus, I see part of God's character. I can go down the line. Something that God made in them is in him. And he does not make mistakes. Our biggest fight, your biggest enemy is not Satan. It's you. That's the biggest enemy. It's easy to say, bring that man, I'll kill him. But what if the prophet says, you that man? God's not happy. I want to finish by saying this, God's not happy. If there's ever an urgency in my life to tell people God's not happy, it's today. God's not happy. God's not happy with what he sees. You know, the Bible says, where does all these wars come from you? It says people war against each other. The Bible even goes on, it speaks about outbursts of wrath. Where does it come from? It comes because of our character. And I know this morning might be not as exciting as the other mornings. That's fine. The message must come out. What do you see? What do you behold in the mirror? I'm speaking to somebody quickly. That it's time to... Besides what you're facing, to get your praise on and praise your way out of it. Whether though you have people around you that will criticize you. And the closer you come to God, the more they will criticize you. That's fine. You're not there for them. You are there to dance before the presence of the Creator. Come on, somebody. Even if you can't dance, you have two left feet. Get your praise on. Start to praise your way right through your storm. And display the character of God. Amen. And when you look in the mirror, what do you behold? Are you happy with what you see? Come on, let's be honest. 2 more minutes, I'm done. If you look in the mirror, are you happy? Are you happy with what you see? And I'm not speaking to you about your physical appearance. Are you happy with the person that you've become? Are you happy with that person that you've become? If you're not, I've got a simple solution. It's as simple as the following, but you have to apply this. Of that which you are not happy with, repent. When you repent of it, God will restore you to your former glory. If you have a low self-image, like I was fighting, do you know what I did? I repented before God. I went to the Lord, I said, Lord, I can't live this life. Because you know what? It affects everybody around you. Oh, it's got quiet. There's my still now. Oh, he rocks the long. So what? I'm big boned. So what? Do you think that God looks at your outer appearance and say, yeah, I can be whoopee? Come on. He's interested in what's on the inside of you. The character that you display. That's what he's interested in. Amen? When you look in that mirror, if you say there's something in me that I can't live with no more, it's easy as this. You repent of it. Repent. Then grace will step in. And when grace steps in, it will help you to overcome the obstacle. I'm not happy with my appearance. Repent. Lord, forgive me. I've been bad-mouthing what you've created. You've created me in your image, in your likeness. Maybe there's a guy sitting here, your wife left you for another guy. And you feel worthless. Goodbye, good riddance. They will never find anybody like you. This is one you. Ach, jy het my nie. Oh, my husband left me. I can't live without him. You can live without him. You can't live without Jesus. If he wants to cheat in that bed, let him go. Don't hold on to something and someone that can't see the value that God sees in you. Amen. Come on, young people. Stop taking your own life because the world says you're not nice enough or not fun enough. Who cares? Go to that mall right now. Go buy a milkshake. Drink that milkshake. Geniet die milkshake. There's only one you. There's only one you. I don't know why I said all the crazy stuff I said this morning. But there's people in this place that needed to hear this. You are loved by God. As long as you look in that mirror. And every day, when you stand before that mirror, the image must change every day. Every day, I must see more of God in me. More of God, more of God, more of God. Okay, I'm done now. One more minute. Then the 2 minutes is done. All right? And David said, bring me that man, I'll kill him. This is what we do. I justify my own wrongdoings. But the minute somebody's stepping over the line, I'm ready to kill. This is what God is actually saying is, before you want to kill, start with yourself. Kill from yourself. So before you judge, stand back and say, hang on, let me just quickly remove the speck out of my own eye before I help the brother with the plank. Amen? And I promise you, take advice from me. In your most painful times, see, can't even tell me about painful times. In your most painful times, praise your way out. If you can get yourself to that place where you just praise, people say, yeah, you can praise here. He's supposed to be antidepressant to this. You praise. You praise. And you preach yourself out of that pain. And you pray yourself out of that pain. And you praise your way out of that pain. Somebody listen to me. And the more you praise yourself out of that pain, the more you see him. And the more you see him, the less your eyes are on people. You no longer see people. Your eyes are not on people. Your eyes are fixated on Jesus. On Jesus. Take advice. Wherever I go, wherever I meet, I take stuff from them that I don't want to become like. Great men of God, I'll go to them, then I will find the flaw. I say, I will never do that in my life. That's what I do. What does it help me to take everything? I take the good and the bad. No, I don't want the bad. I don't want to do the wrong. I want to display a character of Christ through me. Does this mean I'm not going to get angry? No, you're going to get angry. Be angry and sin not, the Bible says. But it's going to change the way I look at people. It's going to change the way before, Michelle, before you touch David, check your own heart. Vice versa. David, before you judge Michelle, check your own heart. Check your own character. If you will never dance before a crowd, don't judge them that's doing that. take your own self. I want you to lift your hands quickly. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that as we reflect in the mirror, we see the person that's our biggest enemy, and that's self. As every eye is closed, I want you to hear me quickly. Just close your eyes and hear me for 1 second. God will only change that which you give to Him. That which you yield to Him. That which you surrender to Him. If I take my situation, God will never touch your self-esteem unless you give Him your self-esteem. And say, Lord, I'm not happy with this. Please forgive me. I want to be who you called me to be. That's when it changes. You know, it might not even be self-esteem. Maybe it's just you. Your heart is filthy, full of bitter and hatred, and you don't like people. The person that looked back, that's your problem. When Nathan said, the prophet of God said to him, you are that man. The prophet of God stands before you right now. Right now, I'm not your chummy. I'm not your father. I'm not your husband. I'm not your cousin. I'm the servant of God. And I tell you, you that man, you that woman. And God says it's time to change. You know, when I get a warning like this, it's not just for no reason. There's always a warning, then there's judgment. So you either apply to that warning and say, Lord, you've spoken to me. Now what I want you to do is just simple. If you said, I'm that man in the mirror, just stand to your feet. You don't even have to come, just stand to your feet. You said this morning, I'm that man in the mirror. I'm that woman in the mirror. Show me that man, I'll kill him. If you say, well, I'm that man, I want you just to stand. I want you to lift your hands. If there's a struggle in your life, something that you know it's making your life miserable, you that man. If there's something that you can't overcome, you that man. Don't look at what the world is doing. God is not interested in that. God is interested in you right now. God is interested in what's going on in your heart right now. Who you are, who you've become. If God looks at you right now in your heart, your heart, man, you know, not your suit, not what you wear, do you think God is happy? Do you think God is well pleased? Paul says, I behold in a mirror from glory to glory. I thank you, Father, that we behold ourselves in the mirror, that from this day we'll go from glory to glory. As your eyes are closed, there's a blessing in character. Many people want power. Character is more important than power. If you have the character to sustain the power, God will take you places. The reason why many of you have not yet received that breakthrough is not because this or that, because God sees the heart. Today we pray, Father, change us from glory to glory. Just quickly lift your hand. I believe the anointing of God is going to flow. Spirit of God, as they stretch out their hands, I declare in the name of Jesus, every tear that's shed in this place right now, that you'll dry it up. Every single tear that's shed. People that stand here right now and say, Lord, I've been away from you. My character, Lord, is not something that you are proud of. Forgive me for the times that I say, Lord, bring me that man, I'll kill him. Oh, bring me that man while I'm doing things that you don't even like. Today I pray, Father, that when you remove the specks from the eyes, that they will not see the fault in other people, but that they will see clearly in their own lives. That they will see clearly, Lord, where they fail. Where they fail. If people look at you, do they see God? When they look at your face, do they really think that your God is alive? I'm not picking on anyone. I'm speaking to what the Spirit of God is saying. What is in us? Woman, you've been making room for the presence of God in your house. Never stop. Because I hear a rattling, I hear a shaking. When you make room for His presence, that's just a sign of your character. You love God. And when you dwell with Him, He'll dwell with you. You know, Mary and Martha, the scripture says that Martha was working, and Mary decided just to sit at Jesus' feet. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, speak to my sister, let she come and help. Jesus said, you know what? Martha, Mary took the better side. Whether it's not bad to serve, but Mary decided to sit at my feet. Because ultimately, that's what gets us changed. The longer we sit at his feet, you know, nothing else matters. The more I spend time with Him, the more I become like Him. Fear will never have power over you when you have an intimate relationship with God. Intimacy will never be a problem when you're intimate with God. True intimacy comes from God. If you lack love, it's because you lack the love of God. If you can't display love, it's because you're not affectionate towards God. I need people in this place this morning that will make a vow to God and say, from this morning, Lord, I'm going to spend time with you. Crucial time with you. Every insecurity will die in your presence. Lord, when I'm down and out, I'll run to the secret place. When I feel worthless, your word says that you're my glory and the lifter of my head. I will not, no longer, let the flesh dictate my happiness. Let my own self and my own bad character dictate my mood. I am who your word says I am. Lord, I am created in your image and in your likeness. And Lord, when you created me, you had yourself in mind. And you were well pleased. And I thank you, Lord, from this day, in Jesus' name, that my heart will also display your heart. Not just my looks, not just the way you created me, but my heart. My heart. Come on, put your one hand on your heart. Do it quickly. Other hand, you lift up to heavens. You know, listen to the prophets, you'll prosper, the word says. And for 1 minute, just 1 minute, I want you to ask the Lord to change you. You know, the portion in your life that you struggle with, give it to Him right now and repent of it. That's what I'm asking you as a church. Repent of it. True repentance means there's sorrow. There's sorrow. Lord, this is it, Lord. Forgive me. Take it out. This is not your character. Come on, I want you to lift those voices a bit. George, come on, let's lift it up a little bit. Come on, I want you to repent it. Give it to the Lord. If you struggle to trust people, repent of it. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Who made me judge? I forgive all those who have wronged me, Lord. I don't want to live in a prison no more. I forgive them so that I can be forgiven. That's your character. Lord, those that lied about me, used me, abused me, today I decide to let it go. Show me that man, I'll kill him. You are that man. You are that woman. So Lord, this is my problem. Repent of it right now. And grace will step in. And grace will give you the power as like it never happened. Come on, do it right now. Don't say, well, I can do it at my house. No, do it right now under this corporate anointing that's flowing in this place. We want to have the character of the fourth man. It's no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. Allow your people to see. When people look at them, they don't see them, they see you, Lord. When you look at your people, you don't see any imperfections or impurities. Come on, I want to say this. There's a warning in my spirit. Repent of it. If there's something you can't overcome, repent of it. You say, I can't give my children love because I was brought up without love. Repent. When you repent of it, God will give you the grace to overcome it. You'll become a new person. When I come out of an abusive relationship, my husband has beat me, just repent of that relationship. Say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. when true repentance comes. This is when God says, you're a man and a woman after my own heart. Holy Spirit, help your people right now. You're the helper, you're the comforter. Bring comfort to those. Come as I see tears flowing everywhere. This is the Holy Spirit making things new. Come on, we're nearly done. Just continue to speak to Him. If you look in that mirror and there's things that you hate, tell Him about it right now. Not what you hate about anybody else, but you hate about yourself. Things that you know that God is not pleased with. Lord, yes, my walls I'm building. I'm repenting of walls I'm building. Tear it down this morning in Jesus' name. Tear it down this morning in Jesus' name. Come on, give Him your walls. Let Him tear it down right now. If you have pride in your heart, you can never say sorry. That's pride. Pride comes before the fall. Give Him your pride. Repent of pride right now. Come on, I don't just say this for the sake of church. The Holy Spirit is speaking. Don't reject Him. When last did you tell your wife you love her? When last did you tell your husband you love him? Repent of that pride. When last did you spend time in the courts of glory? You stand in the fire, He's with you. He will not leave you, He will not forsake you. The only thing He's asking is give me your life. And make all the old things new. So come on, one more minute. If you stand here and say, Lord, pride is my problem. Come before Him and say, Lord, I want to repent of pride right now. Take it out of my heart. I want to be prideful. If you're unforgiving, say, Lord, I struggle to forgive. The Word says, I can't be forgiven unless I forgive. I repent, Lord. You treat people bad because you feel bad about yourself. Give it to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent of it, Lord. I don't want to be like this. I want to be like who you created me to be. If you have a low self-esteem in this place, give it to Him right now. Repent of it. Who are we to fight the Maker? Give Him your weakness. He'll empower you. Come on, 30 seconds. Just pray. In the name of Jesus Christ. Every day as I stand in the mirror, Lord, may I be transformed into your image, into your glory. From glory to glory. The joy that you have, the world has not given it to you. Don't look for your joy in earthly things. Don't look for joy in what the world has given. The world's got nothing. Find your joy in the Lord. Find your strength in Him. So Father, right now, every stumbling block. I have to say this as every eye closed. The Scripture says there will be stumbling blocks. The world will throw stumbling blocks. But He says, woe to the person who becomes a stumbling block to any man. Don't pull people down. Build people up. Whatever stumbling block it is, I break it off them right now in the name of Jesus. I come against every attack on their character in the name of Jesus Christ. The reason why you feel so bad about yourself is because Satan thinks so much about you. He can't tell you how well and great God has made you. This is why he's lying to you every single day of your life. But that thing is killing you. It's destroying you. It's destroying you. Get your character in the Lord. Come on, lift your hands, every hand lifted right now. We don't look at those who's wronged us. We don't look at those who's hurt us. We look to you, Lord. Change us from glory to glory. from glory to glory. Forgive us. We repent, Lord, of the old nature. We repent of the old character. The word says you make all things new. I declare today, Lord, when they look in that mirror again, they will hear the voice, well done. I'm well pleased. In Jesus' mighty name, I thank you from this morning, they will take victory. They will be more than conquerors, more than victorious in Jesus' name. And this day, Father, this day is our day where we are coming out, where we hear the rattling, where we hear the shaking, where you promise us, this day I will bless you. And we command that blessing. Lord, we command that blessing for every persecution. We command that hundredfold blessing according to your word in Jesus' name. And Lord, for every day wasted, that people wasted with wrong characters, wasted of speaking against people, wasted of gossiping and slandering, we declare, because of repentance, that days will be added to their lives, days that they will spend in your presence. Come on, for that hour you feared, Satan robbed you of a whole hour of your day, of bringing fear to your body, bringing fear to your mind. Let go and let God. Give him your weakness, and he'll give you the strength. As your servant, I agree, and I say it is done for your people. They will never be the same again. And I declare this, that their characters will even overflow to their children. Their children will not have the world's character. Their children will have a godly character in the name of Jesus Christ. Because from this morning, come on, I want you to say this with me. From this morning, all things are new. I have a new character. The old man is outside. I'm new. Everything is different. Father God, from this day, when I reflect in the mirror, let me see you. Help me not to judge, lest I be judged. Not to condemn, lest I be condemned. But help me to be an ambassador of God. I'm taking back my life. I'm taking back my joy. In Jesus' name. Me and my house, we make room for the presence of God. And I declare, according to the word, an overflow, a supernatural abundance, a rattling and a shaking of the blessing of God is coming this day. According to your word, you say, this day I'll bless you. In Jesus' name, we take it. And the people of God said, amen and amen.